Drop a Dance Podcast. We hold it down. They know what's next. Hello.
Hello. Good evening. I guess welcome to another edition of the JTP Lounge. As always, I'm Janelle from HR here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black, and we have a special guest with us on this evening. He's the only guest we've had on the lounge during Black History Month. How did that work? So he's like exclusive.
Call us coons.
Listen. That's what they always say. We know the truth, though. All right. So any guest that has joined us, I don't introduce them. They introduce themselves. So, my love, introduce yourself to the viewers and listeners at home.
What's going on? It's the Urban Playboy, Mr. Fresh to Death, Pretty Boy Smooth. And I'm here.
Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm originally from Hempstead, New York.
You're from Long Island.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I grew up hooping out there. I started at Hofstra University and I transferred to Mercyhurst, which is in Erie, Pennsylvania, where I live now. So I've been in Erie for about 5 or 6 years. And hopefully I'll get out of here soon.
Where are you trying to go?
I think I want to move to North Carolina, honestly. I kind of like that area. So like Raleigh or Charlotte or something like that at some point. Mm-hmm.
Definitely a good move, especially for the wrestling aspect of things.
Yeah, I'm kind of like in the middle of everywhere that I travel, so it kind of works for me, and it's really cheap to live in Erie. But I like to live in a more diverse area, like growing up in New York and whatnot. And Erie is not diverse at all, really, so it'd be nice to get out of here a little bit.
Not at all. Not at all.
Yeah.
So when you say cheap, about, right.
Oh, is it cheap? It's probably is cheap.
It's hella cheap. Like, bottle service is like $80. Like, it's just confusing.
What?
Yeah, it's stupid cheap out here, man.
You know you a New Yorker when you say bottle service is cheap. That's what you know you a New Yorker.
Oh, yeah. You know I was out here tweaking for a little bit. I had to.
Wait, what years were you at Hofstra?
I 2010 to 2000, I don't know. I graduated from 2009 from high school. And then I think I was there to like 2013. And then I went to Mercy. No, I'm tripping. I got my undergrad in 2013. That's why that number stuck in my head. I left in 2011. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. But yeah. You started there. Oh, okay. There was some wild parties at Hofstra. I went to St. John's.
Oh, okay. I've been around here.
I knew a lot of people that went to Hofstra too, so wild and crazy stories. I went to the bathroom, and I guess you lived on campus?
Oh, yeah, I did.
So there's a dorm there that all the athletes live in.
Yeah, a lot of us were in C Square. Like
whatever it was, I had to use the bathroom so bad. So my homeboy that I was visiting, I was like, yo, I gotta use the bathroom. He snuck me into the dorm because I don't think nobody outside of like athletics can go in. And we went on like every floor to find a bath. It was just wild, but wild times at Hofstra, I will say.
I mean, I can remember just the alphas and the Qs fighting at every party. Just wild shit. It was dope.
See the Warriors jump off like on some Warriors jump off like.
Oh, it'd be real. They'd be
like wait. Hold up. Like were they actually fist fight or were they like fighting like?
Bro, we would scrap it. Like, we'd all be in Hofstra, USA, which was like the club party area.
Where all the parties is at, yep.
Yeah, so then whenever that Lil Boozy song, Wipe Me Down, came on, let's move out the way because, you know, they would be bumping motherfuckers and shit, not care. And then somebody would bump somebody and then they would just start brawling.
Yep. So one of my friends from high school, he's actually a Malik from Hofstra. Okay. And we went to a party, and that's how that ended. Was they started strolling, and everyone knows you just get out of the way. And somebody didn't move, and that was that.
I'm like, yeah. Party ended. Yeah, I ain't want no parts of that.
That's hilarious. I know a couple of cappers that probably went to your graduating class. It's a small world, son. It's a small world in Queens. Me and him were born in Brooklyn, but we were raised in Queens our whole entire life. So we had friends from Long Island, from Queens. Like, didn't Ruben Black, didn't Ruben go to Christ the Kings?
I don't imagine with the Christ the Kid, Bishalakin, French, I mean Sagan, French's Prep. All those private schools, I know somebody in all of them.
All those baller schools, we know somebody from there. And we grew up with some. So when you said Hempstead, I was like,
Hempstead. All right, cool. Yeah.
People don't realize, like, they think like Long Island is this super like nice, ritzy area, but they ain't really been to Hempstead or Uniondale or Roosevelt or none of that. Not at all.
It's the whole with high property tax.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I guess I'll go. How the hell did you go from basketball to wrestling?
So it is kind of funny. So I've always loved wrestling, but I only knew about WWF at the time. Like, I didn't know about the independents or anything like that. So pretty much when I was growing up, my dad worked four jobs and my grandma would babysit us a lot. So when I was over there, like, that's all that would be on TV. And she loved in The Rock and whatnot. And then if I'm home on like a Monday and my dad gets home late at night, like Monday Night Raw's on, so we're just watching that. So I always like loved wrestling and whatnot and enjoyed watching it, but I was still playing basketball. So I want to say once I started taking it like more seriously in like high school and whatnot, I kind of fell off. But when I got back to college, I would still keep up with like the pay-per-views and whatnot. And we'd be in like the training room and they'd be mad that I had wrestling on the TV instead of like some Final Four game or whatever the case may be. So I was originally going to go play basketball overseas, but when I didn't and chose to go back to finish my master's, I was kind of like in limbo, not knowing what I wanted to do. And it just so happens that I had a grad assistant position, and one of the girls that worked for me, her friend dated a local wrestler in Erie.
So, what's his name?
John McChesney.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So pretty much like they knew I liked wrestling, so they brought me to that one show. And then after that, I just kept going by myself. And I brought one of my roommate's friends one time, and she just kept asking me, like, why don't you do this? You're bigger than half these guys. You're in better shape than some of them and stuff. And I was just nervous, so I asked them about, like, reffing. And they were just like, nah, so
what?
Like,
what? That's why.
Yeah, like, I literally got drunk one night and was like, listen, like, I don't mean no disrespect or whatever, but I really would like to get into business. Would there be opportunity for me to learn how to ref? You know what I'm saying? That's literally what I said. Like, I was just very, you know,
humble. Nah, because he's a distraction in the ring, so that's a ref.
Yeah, like, you are tall as fuck, so, like,
it's like Undertaker as a referee in the ring.
Right.
That doesn't work.
Or the Big Show. Like, everything, like, the Big Show special guest referee, it was like, why?
Have you ever?
I think he had one time.
Question, but for people who are watching and listening, how tall are you?
I'm 6'9".
That nigga is tall.
Yeah, I used to get billed at 7 foot, but when I had my WWE job, they kind of blew the whistle on that one. And I never liked doing that because, like, I've played basketball with 7-footers and shit. So to me, it's like, why do I need to pretend I'm 7 foot when I'm, you know, still a tall dude? You know, it's kind of weird. Like, it's not a gimmick. So it's like,
You just do a lot real quickly and then just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he tried that WWE tryout and he bombed it on us and we were just like, wait, what?
You got me on the line with people from New York, so I'm just gonna kick it and chill now. Like,
oh no,
wait,
listen, this is the lounge. That's what we about. But
I'm not used to that. You know what I mean? Like,
dang, you know what? Let me get comfortable.
Yeah, you never know nowadays when somebody going to bomb on you.
You're right.
You know,
you're right.
You gotta know when to spin something. You feel me?
You know.
All right. Question. All right. This is funny. So, you get into wrestling. as a ref. Who the hell said, motherfucker, chill the fuck out, get your ass to start wrestling. This ref shit ain't working.
Yeah, John McChesney. Like, they deaded that after the text message. it wasn't even an option at that point.
Wait, so what school did you train at?
I started with Pro Wrestling Rampage in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I was there for about like a year, but the problem was there was no real consistent training. So what we would do is they run a show once a month on a Saturday. We'd get there at 8 a.m., set the ring up, train for a few hours, and then pretty much get ready for the show. And that would be the extent of my training.
Wow.
And, you know, coming from a background where we were hooping like 6 days a week and whatnot, like that was weird to me. But I also wasn't familiar enough with the independents to know that there were other places I can go per se and whatnot. So once that school closed down, I still wanted to train. There was no other school in my vicinity. So I was lucky enough to be friends with Britt Baker, and she introduced me to some people that got me hooked up for AIW. So,
wow.
Yeah, so Tuesdays and Thursdays, I would drive out to Cleveland and train there. And I did that for the longest time until Jerry eventually got signed. And then I trained in Buffalo with the Blade, Pepper Parks. I did that for a while, and then I went back to AIW. So I just kind of AIW is like my home school at this point, but I do different seminars and train different places just to learn from different people, you know?
Wow.
So let me ask you a question. What's your background?
In terms of?
What's your nationality? Sorry.
Oh, African-American.
Okay.
Yeah.
He just straight black.
Straight black. All American slave. Okay.
Yeah, my parents are from Alabama.
Oh.
You know why I asked? Because you have that, but then again, it makes sense. Like, you grew up in Hempstead, but you have a Caribbean swag to you. So,
one of my best friends I grew up with is Jamaican. So,
There you go. There you go.
So, I'm around a lot of shit all the time. I was around a lot.
There you go. So that explains it out.
Before we move on, I gotta ask this question though. Were you at these bashments with your tall ass doing the moves?
Would you say it again?
Were you at bashments doing moves at bashments with your tall ass?
Were you at the basement parties?
Yeah, jumping off of stuff.
Oh, like dancing?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Remind me later. I'll find some videos and some shit. I used to turn up, bro. I would be throwing money, all that. I was acting up.
All the money.
Yo, I have a question. Have you ever powerbombed somebody on a dance floor?
No, I'm not. I mean, some things like that at them Caribbean parties, but it wasn't no powerbomb. When the Dutchie wines and all that come on.
A lot of daggering.
So You're training, and then you're doing what you're doing. How did you come up with the whole gimmick PB Smooth, Pretty Boy Smooth? How did you get there?
So pretty much PB Smooth was a nickname I had in college that I got after my teammates kind of made me turn my swag around. So I'll put it this way. My parents were very big on their morals and stuff, so they didn't want me to value clothes that much. Mm-hmm. Per se. So I would be at I would go on a college visit, right? And they would take me to a party and I'd be wearing shit like this and windbreakers because I just didn't have all clothes. Every now and then I'd have one of those Ed Hardy shirts or whatever the case may be. But pretty much the only thing for me was my dad would take me to get a haircut every week. Sometimes I would get my nails done, shit like that. But then when I went to Hofstra, we would get extra Pell Grants. The athletes, when we have to be there, over the breaks and whatnot. And my actual house was 10 minutes away, so I just had money to save that I was just using on, tattoos and shit. But, my teammates forced me to, get into fashion and shit. They took me to Nordstrom. I bought some Pradas, a Burberry polo and shit like that. So then, because I never really valued clothes like that. I thought I would just outgrow it. But, pretty much – that was the beginning of what Pretty Boy Smooth came from, because girls would start calling me a pretty boy and I knew how to like talk to people and they enjoyed talking to me. And then I just got really into like the whole metrosexual vibe of having like nice clothes all the time and making sure my hair is cut right and all that kind of shit. So it was a name that was already there that I kind of just threw in with wrestling because I didn't really know what I wanted to do at that point. But I'd say like right now is when it's finally become that extension of who I am and who I was in college, like when that whole thing like festered.
And he got chapstick too.
Oh yeah, that too.
Oh, wait, chapstick. Like,
oh yeah, I got my name on it.
You have your name on
what?
I was selling these shits. Like I made like a legit commercial form and everything. this is my stick right here.
You gotta promote yourself. Why not?
Where did the chapstick come from, though?
Yes.
Here's well, believe it or not, you know Facade, like the wrestler Facade, the Neon Ninja.
I've heard of him.
He's the one that gave me like that idea because like it was hard to find like something specific that connected to the wrestling demographic that would portray like what I'm trying to show. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like black people would get me right away. Like if they would see me do certain shit, like if I wrestle, I used to wrestle in a Gucci belt before I found out all shit about him and whatnot, which I stopped wearing. You know what I'm saying? But like the chapstick was just something easy to like play around with that would add more character to me if I made it that. If that makes sense.
No, yeah, that's not
how she liked it.
That's just like scarves or
yeah,
certain ring gear. No, it makes sense though.
Yeah, it's just really acting like a fuckboy. Like
wait, but are you like that in real life?
Yeah, like to a degree, 100%.
You know what? I love your honesty. That was real. I was like, whoa.
Well, okay. I went straight up, but that's why like it's easier for me to portray what I want to in the ring now because I've learned how to like blend that extension of myself. You know what I'm saying? Like obviously I know when to be professional or when to like tone certain stuff down, but by nature, like yeah, that pretty much is who I am.
Nah, that fucks with it.
No, it's real. Yeah, so, what has been some of the hardships you've encountered being in such a rural area of Pennsylvania in training, and then you said going back and forth to Cleveland, like? What were some of those like experiences and you being probably the only black person there? But
it's Cleveland. Like there's nothing in Cleveland. Shout out to Joe King.
You know what? People say that and honestly, Cleveland was I had one of the best times. I went on a work trip and I stayed in Cleveland for 5 days. Their downtown area is so small, everything is there. The casino, the bars, the hotel, the stadium's right there. Like everything's right there, so Cleveland actually is a bit of a good time, I will say.
Yeah, Cleveland wasn't that bad. Erie was just, I'll put it this way, it was a culture shock for me, but I'm one of those people that know how to like adapt to the situation I'm in and make the best of it.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, between like playing basketball for like a local school, between getting my master's degree and like certain things, like I was able to network with a lot of different people out here, whether it be politicians, whether it be people on the police force, just like random shit like that. So like people kind of like know my name out here. And then from like being in the newspaper a few times and shit like that. So I'm like, I know me personally, I'm okay. I'm more worried about like everybody else because not everyone is in that same like situation I'm in. But in terms of like the culture shock, Erie is a place that's very behind the times. So we have like a Lower East Side area where a majority of like the African Americans live, and it's not like a great situation. It's very like Erie in general is like very poor city kind of deal, and there's not many of us. So it's like people only know what they see on TV and shit like that. So when somebody like me comes around, that dresses different, that talks articulately and shit like that, it kind of like messes with their head a little bit. So there have been times I've had to check people, but overall, like I've kind of made it work and made the best of it. So like I'm not like I'm not like miserable, but again, it's not a place that I'd want to retire to long term, raise a family. So
that's fair.
I love how you just smooth over like so much shit, and then we gotta like track back on shit.
Yeah.
No, I had pinned that WWE tryout shit he threw in the loop. I was like, but
I'm also on the fact that he has his master's degree.
Oh, wrestling. Yeah, what's his master's in?
Yeah,
organizational leadership.
So let's backtrack that. What made you get into organization leadership?
I wanted to work in like managerial positions, and I really like communication and like public relations and stuff like that. And there's so many different avenues you can dive into with that. And it just seemed like organizational leadership was the program that kind of encompassed a lot of that going into like grad school for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, realistically though, I was still, so when I was at Hofstra, I redshirted my first year. Do you guys know what like a redshirt year is pretty much?
Yeah.
We know what it is. Could you explain to people who don't know what it is?
Yeah, so when you redshirt, it's typically when you have some type of injury or some type of eligibility issue where you can't play for a year, but because you didn't play that year, that year of athletic eligibility rolls over. So my freshman year, I had like a really bad knee injury, and they redshirted me, so I would have had 4 years to play after that.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much going to just tell the whole story at this point. Just to not backtrack. All right. So pretty much I had like a really bad knee injury. I was 17. And the coach that we had, he left to coach at Fordham University because they offered him a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got a guy that got a DUI 2 weeks later. And then we get another coach who's like a first year head coach, who recruits his own guys. And around this time, there's a doctor's note that says, I won't ever be able to play basketball competitively again because of my knee. So anyway, I'm doing therapy, I'm training, whatever. I end up getting healthy and able to work out with the team and things are going well. But because this guy recruited whoever he wanted to, like, I never really got an opportunity. So, like, I wasn't playing much, even in games that we were, like, losing or whatever the case may be. But anyway, the end of that year, the coach says, you need to transfer because I'm not going to give you, like, your last year of eligibility. So I was going to transfer to University of New Hampshire, but when you go D1 to D1, you have to redshirt again. So at this time, I'm still thinking, like, I want to play overseas, so I need stats to do that. So then I decided to go D2, and then I ended up at Mercyhurst.
Okay.
What was the original question? I'm zoned out right now. I'm sorry.
You're good. He had asked.
Part of it was about your master's.
Yes. Then I asked you why you got into that. Why you got a bachelor's is that? Yes.
Yeah. So pretty much, like every year, like I was on course, like I was passing all my courses. I had solid grades and whatnot. So that fifth year was paid for by Mercyhurst. So that fifth year, I was getting a grad certificate in like public relations, and then I was going to go play overseas, but because of relationship I was in and other things, I decided to go back, and then I got the grad assistantship. So pretty much like those 6 years got paid for.
When you get the GA, they pay for it.
Yeah, because okay. People will redshirt and they'll take less classes so that they still graduate with a 4-year degree in 5 years, but my mom wasn't having that.
Oh, nice. But I did the research, and I know Kanisha and everything, and also Joakim talks greatly about you as well, where you've done a lot for the community. Can you talk a little bit about the stuff that you've done for the community, like all your philanthropy type of stuff, if I'm pronouncing the word right? You know, I'm a little
dumb. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the main thing that people know about is the scholarship fund I made for Mercyhurst that we call the PB Provide Scholarship. So pretty much my undergrad degree was in communication, and it's something that I feel we lack a lot in today's world, whether it be interviewing, reporting, just knowing how to communicate with people in general. Like, I feel like it's something that gets lost in translation with the way social media is and all this other kind of nonsense. So it was something that I always felt very passionate about. And I always had in my mind, like, I get rich and famous, I want to be able to do this, or do that. But I just have the right friends around me that are like, why don't you just figure this shit out now? Because you hear about so many people that start businesses and do different things when they have nothing. So for me, it was just like, let me find a way to start this scholarship. And initially, I was just using my tax refund. So that would have helped pay for like books or like help pay for like a course for a semester, like some random shit like that. But the crazy thing with it was once I got it off the ground, unfortunately, like the whole George Floyd thing happened and whatnot. And I think because of that, more people like donated to it because they were just looking for different things to like, you know, help out with, which I'm happy people donated, but at the same time, it sucked because like they knew I was doing this before any of that happened and nobody really gave a shit. So I was kind of like pissed about that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we did find a student and it was enough to help her for the next 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So now I'm still coming up with more money to keep doing this because my goal is to get like 6 or 7 kids and help them that are African-American students that want that degree in communication. So like,
wow. Round of applause.
Awesome. So, dang. So I don't know where I'm going to start. So I'm just going to start. So what is the one thing that us as Black people have to do that we are lacking? That if we do this, I know there's many things, but right now, if someone asks you, gun to your head, what's the one thing that we'll say that us as community need to focus on?
Like just the Black community or like in general?
Well, let's start with our own people, yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel like the biggest thing for me is there's a lot of sense of entitlement. And what I say by that is like we're already in fucked up situations, like out the gate. Like my dad would tell me, like, you need to stay away from certain spots because if the police come, you're the tallest dude there and the Black people are gonna go grab you first, right? So instead of like being just pissed about that all the time, I feel like there's more glory in finding a way through all that and like still learning how to be resilient. Like, I feel like a lot of us get caught in situations and they get comfortable with just being in that situation as opposed to finding a way to figure it out. And that's not like an easy conversation to have because there is a lot of stuff that goes on that is, well, like out of our control and whatnot. But I'm also one of those people that like I read like a lot of books all the time. Like right now I'm reading this shit on like self-discipline and like I try to do things to set myself up for success despite what like hurdles are thrown at me. So like I don't like blaming other shit that goes on for what happens with me, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like I even feel like a guy like 50 Cent is the exact same way. He takes like the worst shit that happens in his life and turns it into something that will propel him to where he wants to go. And I feel like a lot of us need to have that kind of mindset when it comes to shit like this.
Shout outs to Queens.
Wow. Yep.
You know, just saying.
Please get the money.
Dollar bill, y'all. But anyways, how did, because you talked about a lot of discipline, mentality. How does that help with your wrestling? Getting through the Sharks, the Lions, Bears, oh my, within that industry.
The politics.
I couldn't really suck at that, to be honest with you. Like,
say
I,
that
like,
again?
I suck at that. I struggled with a lot of that shit.
And, really?
Well, yeah, because I think the biggest, I just don't show it because I'm not, like the way I was raised is I don't talk about stuff online that's really like bothering me like that. Like I'm not, like I used to keep like an actual journal. Like I don't like use Twitter as like my diary and shit. But pretty much my thing was I had too many tabs open in my head of asking different people for advice. So I guess the best way to explain it is one time Eddie Kingston said, pick like 2 or 3 veterans that you trust and go to them for match feedback and stuff like that. Now, I didn't know how to network with people in the wrestling world because you're dealing with a completely different demographic as to like regular people on the street or basketball and whatnot. So my way of talking to certain guys would be like, hey, like, do you have anything for me? Like, did you watch this match or whatever? But the problem was I was getting so much feedback from everybody that I lost track of who Pretty Boy Smooth was, what I wanted to do, what I believed in, what would work. And for like the longest, I was just in this weird like state of confusion, like being afraid to stick up for myself because I didn't want to get heat from somebody. Like, and it's tough. And I mean, because I've been wrestling for close to 5 years now, I'm more comfortable with standing on my own too about it. But it's also really hard to break into a business and do that out the gate when you don't have a following, you don't have consistent bookings. It's not like you're making like a lot of money out the gate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So just like the hardest part for me was just learning how to be who I wanted to be and accepting that and just letting the chips fall with where they may with it.
Mm. Wow.
So outside of Eddie Kingston's advice, what's some of the other best advice you've gotten from other wrestlers that you've talked to or been in interaction with?
As cliche as it sounds, it's usually like random guys, like a Matt Cross. Like he'll just tell me, just be yourself and stay ready. And it sounds like such like a simple concept, but it's so true because there's so much like opportunity out there with like WWE, AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact. Like there's so many different places that you can work, and that if you're ready to go when your number's called, like you'll go. You know what I mean? Like I remember Colin Delaney telling me that wrestling essentially at times is a casting call. Like you may not be what they want at that moment, but if you keep doing what you're doing and still building your brand, they may come back around and find you. You know what I mean? So what I do now is I have a list in my phone of certain guys I'll go to specifically for match feedback, specifically for like character and social media stuff. And I just don't deviate from that list. And I pull what they tell me and then add my own personality to it and what I feel and my gut is doing, I think, to do.
So what was the biggest life lesson that you learned from wrestling?
Like life lesson? I haven't really thought about that, honestly. But I think it is to just believe in myself when it really comes down to it. Because when I first started, like I was told PB Smooth's a stupid name. People are just going to think peanut butter. And in my mind, I'm like, you don't know all these black people like Snoop Dogg and 50 Cent. Like, why would you think that? But, you know.
I mean, but peanut butter is smooth. So
and people love peanut butter.
Which is fine. But to this day now, if you go on Google and you type in PB Smooth, I come up first. So I won that battle. There you go. So that was the lesson for me to say, you know what, like sometimes you got to say screw everybody and just believe in something so passionately and go for it. So I think like wrestling really helped me do that.
Damn. So because you talked about it before, now we're back to it. This WWE tryout. Let's, and I know you probably can't say too much because you probably gonna end up with another one, but how did you get the tryout? How did it feel when you heard about the tryout? And what did you take away from the tryout?
So I would reach out to them and I was doing like extra work periodically whenever they were in like the 4-hour area, geography or whatever. I think when Johnny got signed, he probably spoke to somebody, honestly, like when they knew that I was reaching out to them again. Because I put him, like, as my trainer. And Johnny Gargano has such a good rapport of, like, training his students. And he's in such good standing with them that he told him, like, yeah, he's a big guy that works hard, is athletic, whatever the case may be. So I think that played into it.
Lord.
I really – what?
Because he loves Johnny Gargano.
Well, yeah, Johnny is that dude, man. Like,
exactly.
I wouldn't know where I am if it wasn't for him. I really wouldn't. But pretty much, it was a good experience for me to know how they do things there. So I took away like a lot of different drills and stuff like that. I remember Matt Bloom wanting me to get like my legs stronger, so I've been working on like squatting heavier weight and like just building like muscles and shit like that. I mean, it wasn't like, it was very like fundamentally based, if that makes sense. Like they wanted to see how you move in the ring, if you're safe, like how your rolls are, and like are you in like good shape and stuff like that. So pretty much I just took like a lot of the drills I learned there and I still revisit them like in some of my workouts just so like I could stay fresh and be ready to do that. And it was nice to get feedback on like specific things. So like a big thing for me was I was built like a basketball player. So I was 6'9", but I was 230. So I was kind of like a slim dude. So like I started changing my diet and things like that so I can get to where I'm at now at like 265. So,
ooh, 265.
Really? Yeah.
Dang. I just have changed. You know what? Not for nothing, TV makes you look smaller, though.
I can believe that.
Like, it's the oddest thing. So, I had watched, and I wanted to ask you about it because when he said we were interviewing, I said, oh, you know, I got to ask this question. I had watched the GCW for the Culture show.
Yeah.
The one that just happened recently, it was the 24 hours. And of course, the For the Culture show had all the technical difficulties, which I won't get into because that'll be that. But your match with Calvin Tankman, though, I'm going to need you to break that down because that just the polar opposites. And it just, it fit, it was like a puzzle piece. I was like, oh, this is actually not that bad. Because I get concerned when I see a really, really big guy and a really, really small guy, but sometimes it works. So talk a little bit about kind of like just getting prepared for that in that match itself. Because I also wanted to ask, how has it been wrestling during a pandemic? Because, you know, not every place is open, but a lot of people, you know, as the world started to open up, it had just been straight ahead and started wrestling again. So first part of it is, how has it been wrestling in the pandemic? And then your experience at that For the Culture show.
This has been a better situation for me just because in general, like when, with the world slowing down, it allowed me to reinvent like my whole persona and how I wanted to present myself to a crowd. It helped me look at the mistakes I've made and learn from them and stuff like that. And all the bookings I've been taking are like quality shows with quality opponents. And the majority of the time they're pretty spaced out. So like a regular level, like being vegan and exercising as much as I do and building my immune system, I'm able to like stay healthier in most cases. Obviously we still have to do the COVID testing for shows and whatnot. And I'm around a lot of people on a regular basis just from like my everyday life pretty much. But like I'm taking care of myself as best as I can. I'm not going out to like clubs and turning up on like some wild shit and whatnot.
No bottle service.
See, now I gotta go to Erie so I can just do bottle service just one time.
I mean, yeah, it's $80, dogs. Like, $80, come on, man. You can't beat that, man.
That, and I was getting in for free because I knew the owner. So, like, I was in, like, yeah, two sections. I used to.
Dang.
This man getting NBA treatment in Erie, Pennsylvania, y'all.
I really was, man. It's crazy. People think I played for the Steelers or some shit.
That's stereotypical, by the way.
Every day I get asked some dumb shit. That's
the dumbest thing you've gotten asked.
Somebody asked me, like, seriously, like, thought I was like LeBron and played for the Cavs. I look nothing like that, man.
No,
like nothing.
What a white.
Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, that goes without saying.
Are you LeBron? Like, what?
I'm like wow. You see me here. I get asked dumb questions all the time.
How you took that? How you took that when that person asked you?
It depends on, like, my mood that day. Because sometimes I'll, like, laugh it off because people are like, oh, old, they're stuck in their ways. Nah, fuck that. Like, other days, I'll just be like, that was very, like, racial stereotypical, and I'll just walk away so they can just sit there and sit
down. Like, they can sit in it?
Yeah, make them uncomfortable. Listen, I'm all about making people uncomfortable that don't look like us because, oh, well.
Yeah, it's that and just, like, dumb questions. Like, like, oh my God, you're tall. I'm like, I know. It's just like, it all depends on the approach you give me. But if I feel like some weird energy, like, then I'm probably going to say some shit.
I'm not going to hold you. When I saw you wrestle, I think it was BCW.
It was for BCW. The first
yeah. Yeah.
I was like, this motherfucker is dumb tall.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But you're part of the band watching me wrestle. That makes perfect sense.
I was like, yo, damn. Because honestly speaking, you don't see that many taller dudes in the independent scene like that.
No yeah. one's over like no one's over like 6'5" like that.
Matter of fact, how about you don't see tall dudes like that, period, in life. Like, there's a dude at my job who's 6'10", and I'm gawking at him like, dang. And before I get to finish, I'm 6'10". I was like, all right. But 6'10"? Like, I looked at him, I was like, it's not that tall. He said, I know. I was like, all right, whatever. Wait, no,
if you got to know, if you enter, like, a train or, like, a room and you got to bend down, your ass tall.
You know what?
I mean, that's part of the reason I made like that new vignette I have on my profile. It was talking about being like an everyday draw, because like whether I played basketball or wrestled or some shit, no matter where I go, somebody's gonna say something to me. So like that was kind of the direction I was going with it. Just because, like, I made it out of anger. It was kind of funny.
Where do you lean towards more? Because I feel like you're more heel. But are you more of a face? Which one do you feel more comfortable with?
I feel more comfortable working face because of like the energy and the fire I can bring when it's necessary. Like if you see my match with AC Mac, you'll see why. But like heel's also like comfortable too, I guess. I don't know. It's tough. It depends on who I'm with. And like because me and AJ Gray have had this conversation. He's like, if you come out with Jocelyn, you could be a babyface because you're with like her. People are going to cheer you. But if you get into a ring and just start putting on chapstick in front of a dude you're about to fight, you're gonna set him off. So, yeah.
I saw heel because of the chapstick.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
I love the tights, though.
I love how, because I know, I saw that you have new tights. He has tights with chapstick and area codes. So the area codes where the bitches be different area codes
where
above
the bitches is at. See?
I can't say anything. I'm just saying. I got new tights.
Hold on. I gotta look at this.
Yeah.
Wait, just you the bathroom. Can she show us?
You want me to go?
He does.
Okay. Yeah, go get him.
I want to see this. I want to see what area codes we talking about. Because that's wild.
Wow.
Yeah, it's extremely cool. It was a dope concept on that.
Outside of the box thing, I'm intrigued. So let's see. First of all, I would think those are razors. So that's already hilarious.
Yeah, wow. So you see the chapstick with the different area codes on it?
901-7, wow. 630-607.
Wow. But that's genius.
Oh,
that's how did you think about that?
I was probably drunk, bro. I really don't know. I really don't remember, honestly. I really don't.
Nah, but that is fire though. That's dope.
Well, I couldn't think of any like cool designs. Like I was looking at Leo Rush's gear. I'm like, yo, he just got like mad shit going on. Like I can't think of nothing like that. So. Oh no.
Listen, and you can't fall into the typical I'm tall, so I'm gonna get the Kevin Nash big sexy pants.
Yeah, sure. I don't know if those fit.
So you can't get into that. You can't fall into that dark hole. So you gotta be different.
Yeah.
Is there any particular wrestlers that you know what? We didn't even ask them this. Favorite wrestlers of all time.
Favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh yeah, shoot, day. All right, day.
I know, right? I'm not good.
This guy.
Just throw some names.
I'd probably say The Rock because like I kind of want to follow that realm of what he did. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Between wrestling and branching off to other things and like encompassing it all together. In terms of like, yeah, I really like watching Pete Dunne. I really like Kane.
Yo, everyone likes Kane. Yeah, everybody's a low key Kane fan. Like everybody, from like the littlest to like the biggest. Everyone said the same thing. They love Kane.
I just remember playing video games, and that was the dude that I could never beat. Like
facts. You know what? You're right.
You know what? With Kane, he kept his gimmick for mad long.
Yeah. Like, it all went downhill after he took the mask off for RVD for me. That's where I signed off.
No,
you can say that. You can say that. But for me, the whole time, he kept that gimmick going.
I feel like he went downhill completely is when he started tag teaming with Big Show. Like, he took off the like, he was shirtless. I'm like, bro, I don't want to see your body, man. No, like, yeah, it was too, like, for one, like, you took off the mask. That's one. But at least keep, like, the, you know, the tank top. But they used to expose dogs. Nah, man. Wasn't the same, B.
I can say DX was my favorite, like, stable, for sure. Like, I really like Shawn Michaels and Triple H and all that. And everyone running around saying suck it at school and shit.
We all did. Especially in New York.
Especially New York. That's fucking dope. So, you're doing so much dope shit. Like, honestly speaking, like, I barely know you, but I'm super proud of you.
Yeah, to have a scholarship at a university, is that alone? Like, you're going to have to not only... when we end the episode, tell everyone how they, if they can, like how they can donate, and then also send us the information too.
Yeah.
But what are some goals for next 5 years, next 10 years, right now? Because you're still young. Yeah. So, what do you like? Are planning to do? Matter of fact, you are going to do. Let's put it like that.
Well, I used to be hell bent on like working for like one promotion, but I'm at a point now where I want the option of being able to get like a full-time contract somewhere and seeing what would work best for me. But I also want to build my brand up. Like I put like a lot of time and effort into creating Pretty Boy Smooth and making it how I want it to be. So like, that's something I'd still want to hold on to. I'm working on a science fiction book from when I was a kid that I started writing, teaching myself how to play the saxophone. I do want to move to North Carolina at some point, like I was saying before. Oh no, I even want to be in like one of those like weird like Amazon Prime movies where I'm just like a killer. It's like some weird shit.
But you can't listen. Whatever happens, you can't go first. Like that.
You're too damn tall. We will roast you forever. Better not die first.
And I want to turn PB Provides into like a nonprofit at some point. I don't know how to work that. It'll take some time, but like that's like a bigger goal I have too.
I wish to just sometime in the future, please get your own peanut butter.
Seriously.
Please. Like peanut butter.
There may be a mismark there, so.
Please.
I almost got my own CBD oil. I was looking into that for a little bit. But I don't feel like I need to build like my brand more and like have more like of a following before I want to invest all that in that, because that's expensive.
Well, you will. You have the tools, and you're already working towards a lot of things. You're growing right now. Like, how many people can say they trained with Johnny Gargano, had a WWE tryout, have their own foundation, writing a science fiction book, like. That's your own chapstick. Like, bro, you're killing it.
And let's not forget he's 6'9". Like, he played college basketball, high school basketball. Yes.
You probably nigga, you a cheat code.
You're dead a cheat code. Like, bro, you probably have not made the big shot in the NBA, but bro, you made big shots on two of the biggest level, high school and college. You did it, bro. Like, yes. Listen, I'll be the first one to say this. You're killing out here, King. Yo, stay hungry, stay strong out here. We're proud of you. You got like you're doing this, and I know it's hard out here for all of us, but I could tell that you master self, you master emotion, you master who you are, and the fact that you're able to master self, the This is why you're so selfish with your time, because you want everybody around you to do good. And King, keep that up. We need more people with your type of attitude in the wrestling business. Thank you.
Damn, I appreciate that, man. It sounds like I did a lot. If you say all that, I never look at it that way.
Bro, you did a lot.
This will be the absolute place to get put over. So don't even look further.
Nah, you did a lot, like a lot from what you've told us so far. And like, how old are you? No disrespect.
29.
Bro, 29.
Are you turning 30 this year?
Yeah, in October.
Oh,
what do you got planned?
October what?
October 15th.
You a Libra, so okay.
All
right.
Yeah.
Chill. We love Libras out here.
If haunted houses are open, I'm making moves, because that's like my favorite thing to do outside of everything else. Like Halloween's like, yeah, celebrate.
You so could play a great Jason.
So yes. If the world opens up, the two places I've heard that does the best Halloween outside of like Orlando, because they do the whole like horror thing there at Universal, is Vegas and New Orleans. Those are two places I've heard that if you really want to go all out for Halloween, those are places to be.
Yeah, but here's the thing though. Like, I go to those haunted houses where you got to sign waivers because like they grab you and shit.
Nah, like, I'm punching the fuck out of somebody. I can't do that. I can't.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, matter of fact, I got to find the video. It's on my IGTV, but I don't know if it was like a year or two ago for my birthday. I went with some of the Pittsburgh wrestlers to the scare house, and like Duke and Gannon were there with me. And the shit is just hilarious. Like just seeing like Duke jumping and shit while like things are just flying at us and stuff. So I got to find that video and show that to you.
Yeah.
But are you going to audition to be a villain in a scary movie though? You have to.
At some point. Yeah. I mean, I want to try voice acting first, because I feel like that's something I can do on the computer. Like, there's certain stuff you can look up for that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Sasha Banks and see if I can get a plug for, like, The Mandalorian or something.
You could be a good space of monster. You got the hype.
Yeah, man. You never know.
Last question from me. How was the WWE catering?
Yes.
Oh, it's fire. It was when I was there, it was fire. First of all, any free food at this point in my life, 9 times out of 10, I'm taking it. the problem is, like, I thought it was a test, because like the shit is so good, but you don't know if they're gonna call you to do something. So you don't want to get like full and then have to be stuck in the bathroom or whatever. Like you can barely eat anything because you want to be in the hallway to see if somebody can grab you for something. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was trying to not get the itis.
Oh man! It was so good to have you on.
Last question.
Nah, yo, one of my favorite episodes.
Have you gotten booked for WrestleMania weekend?
Yeah, I got. What is it? I'm on the For the Culture show. I'm on Unsanctioned show. And then Faye talked me into...
Yes, because that's exactly what I was asking for. I was like, you're going to need to be in this gray sweats.
Man, I'm wearing...
Relax.
Just saying.
I'm wearing compressions.
You said you're wearing... Excuse me?
I'm wearing some compressions under there. Wholesome.
Relax.
I don't believe it.
Janelle's going to be there. She's going to be doing commentary.
Yeah. And then I didn't realize that For the Culture. I don't know why GCW always feel like niggas gotta get put on a show at midnight. I don't understand this. But the For the Culture show is at 11:59 Thursday night. So I'll be in Tampa by then. So I thought I was gonna miss the show.
So no one got jobs out there?
It's WrestleMania.
Well, when you're there for like a wrestling weekend, there is no like real world outside of that.
Yeah.
You can have wrestling at 2 o'clock in the morning and it'll be packed. Because that's what you're there for.
Word. I'm about to rent a sports car and act up.
They're going to pull up in a Lamborghini. What up?
In Tampa, of all places. Remember that strip? Wilkins, remember the strip we had, Wilk, where I took y'all to go to the hookah spot?
Yeah.
That's like the hot block. That's where I think the show is, too, at that Cuban spot. It's in that area. So just imagine wrestling fans in that same area we was at.
We had went for a show. When was it, in December?
Yeah, it was like the first weekend of December.
We went for a show in December, and it was in Tampa. So if you're gonna be pulling up with a sports car, you're gonna be, and you 6'9", mad bitches.
Mad bitches. Mad bitches. He out here living the gimmick. So you have to get like at least 1,000 chopsticks.
I already got that.
Like you, at minimum, you gotta at least have that to just start giving out the bitches here.
I'm chilling.
Listen, I just want you to be great. So, thank you, PB Smooth, for joining us on tonight's episode of the JTP Lounge. Before we go, please let everyone know where to find you, social media, and also the information to donate to your scholarships. I do think that is a very important cause that we will definitely talk about putting something into as well.
Yeah, so my Twitter account is at Pretty Boy Smooth. The Instagram is PB_Smooth. And to donate the scholarship's a little tricky, but it's pretty much done through Mercyhurst. So I believe the link is mercyhurst.edu/give, and it'll take you to a site where you can pick like a one-time gift or like a monthly kind of thing. So you check one time, and when it asks for like where you're donating to, you just hit other priorities, and you type in PB provide scholarship, and then it'll just prompt you from there.
Nice.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, any upcoming shows you have outside of Tampa?
Yeah. The tag tournament for tomorrow at Beyond Wrestling, it debuts on Thursday. So me and Trey Lamar in there representing 40 Acres. That should be a good one. There's some other stuff I have going on that I can't really announce that you'll see on IWTV. And March 7th, I'm headed to Columbus, Ohio for the OWA tournament, trying to win that championship. Shout out to OWA. They actually donated their beer sales to my scholarship.
That's so dope.
Yeah, so like they're doing big things over there. So, yeah.
Maybe we got to take a drive up to Ohio. That was always my goal before the pandemic hit. I wanted to go Midwest and go see some indie shows.
You got to come to AIW, definitely. Got to come to AIW. You got to go to
out there one day, guys.
Sanction. We got some good stuff out here.
Yeah, no, I heard. So hopefully once the world kind of chills out, we can make some moves. But thank you so much for joining us on this episode. Guys, any last things before we go? Thanks to everyone that came out for Legends this past weekend for Elimination Chamber. Trying to think of anything else?
Nah, but smooth, man. We proud of you, bro. Keep it up.
Oh, yeah, no. Much blessings and success to you, because you know it's not easy being a man of color doing things for the community and in independent wrestling. So,
yeah. Now, please don't stop. Please do not stop. Keep going. Keep pushing.
I got you.
All right, bro. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. Until next time, guys. #BlackExcellence #we're out.
Dessert.